This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can listen to all our stories as well as watch our televised interviews. Despite pronunciations that we live in a post-racial society, African Americans in particular know that even when doing the most mundane of tasks, they're likely to be racially profiled while in public. Black folk are followed by store clerks while shopping, or even arrested for no reason. Last year, a Black women's book club was kicked off of a Napa wine train for apparently laughing too loud. And most recently, two Black women were kicked out of a karaoke bar in Fresno, California, for reasons that seem to point to only one thing, the fact that they were the only two Black women there. What the bar staff did not know is that the two women were imminently aware, more so than the average person, of what their rights are. For they were attorneys with the American Civil Liberties Union of Northern California. One of those women is now my guest. She is Abre Connor. She was kicked out of the Brig Bar in Fresno with her friend and fellow lawyer, Novella Coleman. Welcome to Rising Up, Abre Connor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you and Novella published a blog on the ACLU's website explaining exactly what happened to you. But for our audience, can you relate that story? You wanted a night out with your friend at a karaoke bar, and instead the bar you were at tried to call the cops on you and tried to kick you out.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. We were here in Fresno, California, and in Fresno there aren't a lot of places that you can do karaoke, especially on the weekends. And we happened upon that place. I called earlier that day and asked them if they were having karaoke later. And we went to the break to sing karaoke. Within our group of three, we ordered a couple of drinks and we waited for our turn. After a while, we were told that we weren't going to be able to perform because we hadn't purchased enough drinks. One of the employees even shouted at my colleague, Novella, to buy more drinks. After that, we looked around the room to see, were there other people who were getting drinks? Were there other people who the employees were going up to and telling them that they needed to purchase more drinks? We didn't even see them go up to other people in the establishment. After that, another large bartender, who was probably about a foot taller than me, came up to us and told us that we had to leave. And after that, he put his hands up in the air and started body bumping me to try to physically remove me from the bar. When I asked him if he was pushing me, he said, yes, but not with my hands. And I asked him not to touch me. He got upset and called the police. While we waited, there was also an off-duty server who came over to talk with us. And we explained that there were several other people who hadn't been to the bar. It didn't seem that that rule was being enforced upon them, if it even was a rule. And that it seemed that we were being singled out because we were the only Black people in the bar. She yelled at us, told us it wasn't fair for us to bring up race, and also said that they only had the time to keep an eye on certain people in the bar. Certain people in the bar. And it just so happened that we happened to be within that certain group, and we didn't see them go up to anybody else. So when the police arrived, we were for sure that the police would listen to our story and also hear from all the other patrons in the bar, some of which had tried to buy us drinks, and the brig was refusing to allow them to buy us drinks as well. And the police agreed that the rule seemed silly and they weren't even sure if this rule existed, especially since the fact that many of the patrons rushed to the police to tell them that they had never heard of this rule before. And that, according to the bar, we were loitering and thus trespassing and had to leave. At that point, even more people tried to go to the bartenders and buy more drinks, and the bartenders refused to allow them to buy those drinks as well. So we were kicked out of the brig for reasons very unknown to us, except for standing in this establishment while Black.
So the woman server that you talked to, when you brought up the fact that you were the only Black folks in the bar and they were picking on you, she said it wasn't fair of you to bring up race. How did you respond to that? And how typical is such a reaction? I mean, this is a typical defensive reaction, isn't it?
Yes, we feel that it's always okay to bring up racism, blatant racism, when it happens. And that the fact that we pointed out that this rule, whether or not it was real or not, it seemed to be made up, was only being enforced against us, it seems fair to be able to bring up the fact that we were Black women, the only Black women that we saw at the time in the bar, and that they were enforcing this upon us. I think that sometimes when people like to feel that we're living in a post-racial society, it might be uncomfortable to bring up race and racism. But as long as we do not call out blatant racism by its name, it's going to continue to happen. And that's why we felt it was important to bring it up that night as well.
Now, what are your rights in a place like a bar? I mean, privately run establishments usually have a lot of leeway to kick people out for things like not wearing shoes, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. In a bar, businesses actually do not have the right to refuse service to anyone or treat someone differently based on race or any protected categories. This has been the law in California since 1959 and nationwide since 1964. If the staff had a rule, and it's not even clear if this was even a rule, but if there was a rule that you had to have a drink and they were only enforcing it against the Black people who were in the bar, that's discrimination that is illegal across the country and in California as well.
Could they say that, look, we have a one drink minimum, but then just make it up on the spot? Or do they have to have that sort of rule like clearly marked on the walls?
They cannot make up a rule that night to try to enforce it against Black people and say, this is our rule. No one else has ever heard of it, but we're going to make up this rule right now, enforce it upon you, and then, you know, make you all leave because we've decided to make up this rule. That's still considered discrimination under federal and state civil rights laws.
Now, if such a case were to go to court, would the onus of proving racial discrimination be on you? Or could the bar not just make up some other excuse that we have the standing rule in place that, you can't wear denim or something like that? I mean, presumably there may or may not be video records of everybody who was at the bar that night. But I mean, how difficult is it to prove racial discrimination? I guess my question is.
Well, in this situation, there are several people who went up to the staff and went up to the police officers and said they've never heard of this. Some of those people had been going to the Brig for over 20 years and said that they've never heard of this rule.
Wow.
For this rule to be in place, it seems a little strange that all of a sudden they would now be enforcing it against two Black women who happen to be in the bar. They cannot arbitrarily decide that they're going to enforce a rule or to watch certain people or anything else like that. That's against the law and it's illegal. They can't do that.
And of course, they had no idea that you and your friend Novella Coleman were lawyers for the ACLU. But this sort of stuff likely happens all the time to people of color, and most often, I think, just given the way our society is, to African Americans. But most people don't know the law like two civil rights attorneys do, right? And so often we sort of let these things happen and walk away traumatized, but not necessarily knowing what our rights are.
We feel that it's really important to bring light to this situation because a lot of people, this happens, we weren't the first people that this happened to, and we probably won't be the last. But it is important for people to know that if they are removed from an establishment because of their race or other protected categories, that is against the law. Businesses cannot discriminate against individuals for that reason. And it's important for us to all collectively call out racism when it happens in order to make sure that it doesn't happen to the next person.
And the last time I remember something like this happening and it being reported in the news, it was the Black Women's Book Club that I'd mentioned. That was a group of 11 women that were kicked off of a Napa wine train. That particular case got a lot of media coverage. Would you say that the experience that you and your friend had was comparable to that one?
I think that racism is racism, and that whether or not someone, you know, discriminates against you on when you're with your friends and in a, you know, and you have a book club, or whether or not someone discriminates against you while you're doing karaoke, or whether or not someone discriminates against you in any other establishment or situation, the mindset and the thought process is still the same. Discrimination affects us all the same in the way that we have to now be impacted by racism, and we should not have to be victims of racism no matter where we are, especially if we're in businesses.
In the case of the Napa wine train, the 11 women in question sued for $11 million on the basis of racial discrimination. And not sure what the outcome was. I think the case might still be in progress. But how important are such lawsuits to put establishments on notice that they can't get away with this type of stuff? Because it's one thing to want to live in a world where there is no racism, but of course, you know, the best way to convince people that they need to at least keep their racism to themselves is to, you know, put some sort of serious financial value or cost to that racism. Do you think such lawsuits are important?
We believe that it's important for people to utilize all tools that are available to them in order to advocate for their rights. Whether that means a lawsuit or using social media, different communication in order to make sure that that business or that establishment is not discriminating against individuals, all of those tools are important and ways to make sure that, to hold people accountable, to make sure that they are not discriminating against others.
Now, Abre, did the Brick Bar ever respond to you? Did they try to reach out to you? Your case has gotten some media attention on sites like Daily Beast and Huffington Post, et cetera. There's been a number of online news sites that have covered it. Has the Brick Bar responded at all to you?
They haven't responded to us. However, they have put out statements which are completely false. And they've asked for us to apologize for being racially discriminated against in their establishment.
Wait, what? What?
Yes, they want for us to apologize for being discriminated against and kicked out of their establishment.
So the Brig has asked you to apologize to them, and so they're digging their heels in.
We feel that, you know, sometimes privilege, it blurs people's vision in a way that it's hard for them to come to terms with the fact that there was discrimination that was happening at their own establishment.
Has your case gotten any major media coverage yet? I mean, has the LA Times or the San Francisco Chronicle or any other newspaper covered your story?
Well, we've seen different reports, Huffington Post, Daily Beast, Daily Coast, Alternate, Source. There have been a number of different outlets who have covered our story as well.
So mostly online news sites, the major media have yet to pick up the story.
We have done some in-person interviews including with like Univision as well.
Do you link what happened to you and your friend, what happened to the Napa women, the women on the Napa wine train, with what this country's history is? You know, I think it's important for us to understand, particularly young people who aren't necessarily paying enough attention to the history of Jim Crow segregation in the United States. Can you put it in that broader historical context?
Right. Well, historically, Black people were not allowed to go into establishments. And back in the day, and it really actually wasn't that long ago, establishments could legally remove Black people from their establishments or make them go through back doors or give a colored section or have different water fountains for Black people. And this situation is very reminiscent of that. They might not have said that there's a colored section or that Black people have to use a different water fountain, but they used the rule that many people hadn't heard of in the bar at all and used that as a reason to kick us out of this, out of the karaoke bar that night.
And what is the sort of legal milestone then that declared that this sort of thing was not legal anymore? How did the law change? Because I think it's important for us to understand that it's not that the U.S. just kind of decided that Americans on their own decided that it's, you know, better to just not be racist.
Right. Well, in California, we have the Unruh Civil Rights Act. There are a number of other civil rights statutes and laws that also govern how businesses can treat individuals. And of course, there are federal civil rights statutes as well. The Unruh Civil Rights Act actually predated many of the federal civil rights statutes. And so all of these laws together make sure that businesses, whether it's if they are serving liquor or if they are just serving individuals, they cannot discriminate against people who are just going in to have a good time.
And I want to also talk about with you the impacts on people's psyche when such things happen. I think it's important to talk about that. I mean, being kicked out, having the cops called on you, it can be humiliating. It can be traumatizing. What went through your mind when you and your friend, you know, experienced this? I mean, maybe being a civil rights lawyer, you have had clients that have gone through this. So, but I'm sure that this kind of thing, these sorts of both micro and so-called micro and even macro aggressions, have a debilitating impact on one's emotions and psyche.
Right. Absolutely. I'm from the South, and being from the South, I've seen a lot of discrimination and racism growing up, and, you know, people calling me different names. And I've never been kicked out of an establishment because of the color of my skin. So,
And this happened in liberal Northern California.
And this happened, well, in the Central Valley, which is a little more conservative. And I think that that's one of the things that when people are thinking about California, we tend to think of it as one, you know, state that everybody is much more progressive, but there is definitely still racism that runs through many people who are living out here in California. And there are lots of progressives that are here, but there are pockets where people do not want to necessarily let go of different values that would allow them to treat everyone similarly. And so it was a humiliating and embarrassing situation to have cops called on us for, according to the brig, loitering, and said that it was not a hangout spot for us. And so that was an embarrassing situation to have all of that happen to us in 2016.
So this sort of thing, of course, happens all over the country. Of course, you know, African-American experiences of being followed in stores by store clerks is a very common thing. And now more and more people are sort of capturing their experiences on their own smartphones and recording them and tweeting about them and sharing them. Do you think that we are at a moment when, because of social media, we're able to better document these things and call more attention to them, call them out, et cetera? But people of color have more agency to report it themselves, if you will.
I think that social media and reporting, documenting instances of racism is very important. We even within the ACLU have an app to help people in certain situations if they feel that there might be instances when they have interactions with different police and they need to document that situation, we have actually tools to help people with that. It's very important to make sure that racism is documented so that the story doesn't change later, or so that establishments don't try to say that, you know, the person of color somehow started the situation when indeed the actual cause was the racism that happened to that person.
So in addition to, say, documenting what's happening to them, what should people do if they experience what you and your friend experienced and what so many folks experience around the country on a daily basis?
We believe it's really important to document those instances.
So videos, photos, everything.
Right. Whatever is safe at that time for them to do, they should feel that they should do that. And if for whatever reason at that time they can't, you know, they should make sure to write down what happened as soon as possible.
And also people who witness such things happening in front of them to others can pull out their smartphones and start recording and photographing as long as it's safe to do so.
Exactly. We've seen so many instances where the fact that there was a video or there were photos that changed the entire narrative of people who were trying to skew racism that was happening around them.
Right. And of course, in the case of things like police violence, those are issues of life and death. Finally, give out a website for the ACLU of Northern California where people can read the blog that you co-wrote with Novella.
Yes. People can go to www.aclunc.org to read our blog.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today, aclunc.org. Abre, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Abre Connor. She was kicked out of the Brig Bar in Fresno with her friend and fellow lawyer, Novella Coleman. And we will post a link to ACLU of Northern California, where she is an attorney, from our website, risingupwithsonali.com. And on that website, you can also listen to all of our stories as well as watch our televised interviews. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.